Hello and hi, welcome back to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guest today is Aaron Wolf, whose newest project is a movie called Tar. It's a feature film. I'm going to call it a creature feature, which everyone knows is my favorite of the subgenres of horror movies. And Aaron is the writer and the director, so hopefully we'll get to dive deep and figure out all the little fun, juicy bits about this movie. Welcome to the show, Aaron.
Yeah, it's great to be here, Summer. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Now, Tar is a creature feature first and foremost, correct?
Yes, it's a creature feature. I like to think of it in the, as you said, it's a subgenre, but we're trying to bring back or mainstream that subgenre again, because it's been kind of genrefied, if you will. It's been put into a corner, and we're trying to make it mainstream again. We have a new creature and a new topic and concept that we hope will really help reinvent the whole style.
I, for one, would welcome that, because creature features are one of the things I grew up on, and a good monster movie has been hard to come across lately. And, you know, in my book, nobody puts monster in a corner.
then your book, we hope, is read by many people in the future, because that's the goal with this. This movie is that, and it's based on that, those influences from the great stuff. I mean, both back in Universal's heyday when they did it, and then also in the 80s, 70s, everything from Jaws to Poltergeist to the, what are some of your favorites? Tell me, and then we can, I'm curious which ones are your favorites.
I actually consider The Thing to be a creature feature.
That's a great example.
Carpenter did was just brilliant. There was a new one a year or two ago called Dark Was the Night, which was a throwback to the old monster features that I completely enjoyed. And you've got the classics like Frankenstein, the old Universal monster pictures that built Universal are still classics to this day.
They really are, and they get remade and remade and remade. And the thing we're doing here is we're not remaking, we're doing new. And that just isn't done enough. And I, to be frank, and I'll get into more about what our movie is, but to be frank, I am so sick of the remakes. I go to the movies a lot as a fan, and I'm tired of seeing the same thing redone again and again and again. I want to see new things. I think a lot of people want new content, new stuff, not Spider-Man 96 and not another version of Frankenstein. It's what, can't people come up with new stuff? That's my hope.
I'm right there with you, because I see all these remakes coming along. I'm like, I already saw this movie or this TV show 30 years ago. What are you doing to me?
And it was better. I mean, usually, not every time, but usually the original one is the best one.
Mm-hmm.
To me, like, you know, to be general, the original Superman is still the best Superman. So when they keep redoing it, and the new one that they redid, the Batman versus Superman, come on, we want new stuff, and there's enough creativity out there, and especially in the independent world, there's great creativity, and it's sad that a lot of the stuff gets buried.
Okay, well, let's give people a taste of what to expect. What is Tar about?
Yeah, Tar is, for those who have been to Los Angeles, Tar is based around the La Brea Tar Pits, which is a strange, iconic thing in Los Angeles, because it's this tar pit in the middle of the city. And underneath that tar pit, there's all these fossils of prehistoric creatures and woolly mammoths and saber-toothed tigers. And they are preserved in the tar. Right now in Los Angeles, they're building a giant new subway line. Mm-hmm. They're digging down right under the tar pit. Ooh. As we speak. And what people around don't realize is that in digging down, they have awoken a creature that lays dormant in the tar. And man awakens it, and it is disturbed by man, and therefore comes and attacks.
Interesting. So we have a monster that actually hibernates in the tar.
Yes, so we think. And again, in the movie, we explain more about what happens. And we're actually doing a graphic novel as well is going to be coming out by Action Lab Comics. And so we're going to be doing a prequel in graphic novel form, which leads up to the movie. So that's kind of cool too. So there is a whole backstory to it.
Awesome. Now, what was the inspiration for the monster?
The monster was done, Kazu, our makeup artist, did a lot of Japanese horror movies, and then he moved to L.A. because he wanted to do some stuff in Hollywood. And we were lucky to get him to use some of that Japanese influence and then bring his brilliance and practical brilliance. I'll add that, too. This is not a digital creature. This is a practical creature. So it really lives and breathes. It's not done in the computers. And he designed it with a mold, just like they did back in the old days. And the creature is he kills with a woolly mammoth tusk. So he uses that as one of his modes to kill. And another way that he kills is by getting people stuck in tar. So they get stuck, and then he kills them. So that's or suffocates them. So he's a gruesome creature, but as you see in the movie, is he just trying to survive just like everyone? We don't know.
Now, is he a puppet or a robotic animatronic or a combination of the two with a guy inside, or is that secret?
That is secret. Mm-hmm. I don't want to give it away because I want everyone, when they see the movie, to be to question it or to be surprised by it, because it's that ruins some of the fun, right? Like when we went to see Jurassic Park for the first time, they had given a hint of it, but we didn't really know. Like,
right.
What are we going to see when we see these dinosaurs come to life? Now, we don't have dinosaurs, but this creature is our dinosaur. We want to save it so that the audience can be excited when they see it.
Now, you wrote or co-wrote the screenplay for this?
I co-wrote it with Tim Nuttall, who's also a producer on the film, and one of the producers. And we created it because our office actually is there. It was our old company office, Howling Wolf Productions, was on Wilshire Boulevard, right by the La Brea Tar Pit. So we saw it all the time. And it's such a strange thing because you're in the middle of a city and there's this weird thing there. And we thought, and our office was about to be torn down by the subway, by the condo makers and subway people. So the man, if you will, was tearing down was making us move. And before we were going to move, we were like, wait, this is all adding up to a story. There's a story here and we're kind of living it. But let's try to make it cool. We're not going to do it about a production company that has to move. That's not a very scary movie. And so we did we ended up making the movie that you see. So we did, it was kind of I find in the independent world, this happens a lot. The circumstances or the things that you're surrounded by or the limitations that you're surrounded by end up leading to a certain amount of creativity. And that's happened to me a lot. I've found a location or or seen something that's right in front of me. And then I think, wait, maybe there's a story there. Maybe there's something we can build on that. And that's what happened here. And we knew we wanted to do this type of film. We wanted to do some sort of genre film, something in the horror thriller throwback realm, but we didn't know exactly what. And part of it was inspired to do a creature thing, and part of it was there's a family dynamic in the film that I found really interesting as well with our actors and such.
Okay, well, since the premise of the story is based in reality, is there a real-world source for the monster itself?
Ah, yes. Well, the Graham Greene in the film, who plays former archaeologist, which was great. It was so cool to work with him, learned so much from him, and he's a Oscar nominee and such. And he his character is a former archaeologist at the La Brea Tar Pit, who is kind of all-knowing. He knows something that most people don't know. People think he's crazy because he talks of this story, but he believes it really happened. And as we see the movie progress, we see that maybe he's not so crazy. So, and the stuff, when people come to LA, if they visit the tar pits, there's archaeological digs where you see bones and you see animals and all this stuff that it's like, how you do not expect that was found right there in the middle of the city.
And
it's very, very peculiar.
Yeah, because the world is full of strange stuff we don't know about or can't explain yet. And for me, that makes the best monster movies, when someone takes an existing myth or legend or ghost story and puts a new twist on it or updates it, because there's some basis in something that real in the world, it gives a watcher, a viewer, a better chance to connect with the story and really feel the fear of the people being assaulted by this real world or supernatural beast.
Yes, and that's you nailed it. That's what I'm going for here in this film, is that I call it a hyper reality, where everything going on around the creature and the world and the family that it attacks is real. The construction is real. The buildings are being torn down in LA. The subway is being built. The La Brea Tar Pits do exist. LA is a very alive and real city. And so everything, and the family that it attacks has a real family business. And the patriarch in the family, played by Timothy Bottoms, which was, again, another amazing wow. Golden Globe Oscar nominee, that he plays my father in the movie. I'm the son. He's the dad. And again, to have him, he brings a realism to it. And another thing, Summer, that I will say about the movie that I was going for is I didn't want it to have the cast. I wanted to fill in with people who maybe we haven't seen in a movie like this at all. Like Timothy, we haven't seen him do. He actually was semi-retired when we cast him, and he agreed to do it. But the idea of it was, let's get people that maybe we haven't seen in a movie like this, because they'll bring something different. And he really does, I believe, when you see the movie. I mean, what he brings is amazing.
So talk about that a little bit. You, like I said, you co-wrote it, you directed it. What other elements of the movie were you trying to achieve just to bring a different aesthetic to it than your average run-of-the-mill horror movie?
Yeah, I wanted, another thing I really wanted is the focus on the characters and the story. So I want people, when they see it, you get to know these people. You get to know the world. You get to know the family business. You get to see the struggle. Me and my dad in the film, Timothy Bottoms' character, were the Greenwood family. And we're three generations in Los Angeles. And we were founded by our grandfather, my grandfather in the film, who's played by another great actor named Max Perlick, who's a great character actor. And he's the patriarch in the family, and he started a typewriter fixer-upper business. He moved from Europe, comes to LA, and that's what he started. And the business is still existing, but this is the last night. It's about to go under.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's all real. It's the real family that's struggling with your typical father-son fighting about what to do next, and a family trying to make it in the U.S. and in L.A., an immigrant family. So it's I wanted that. I wanted, to answer your question, I wanted all that realism. I wanted to feel like this could be any family. This is not just five teens venture off into the woods and get killed in a campground. Not that those movies aren't fun, but that wasn't what we were going. I was going for a more realistic environment and the people. There's a lot of fun. There's some funny characters. There's a lot of humor in the movie, but it's based on real people, and I like that. I personally relate more to movies when I can relate to some of the characters.
Yeah, and
then when outlandish things happen, it's amazing.
Yeah, and you can take a few more chances because people will choose to do the daring or the dangerous in order to save a family member more so than they would just, you know, so-and-so's girlfriend's buddy.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, and tell me, I'm curious what you think as an expert, once the audience cares more, and me as a, you know, it's based on my family and my dynamic with my dad, and that's what the movie's based on. So I hope in bringing that specificity to the movie a bit, it will make other people relate and then make it more universal. And then people care when all the crazy stuff happens.
Yeah. I mean, you have to, for me, it's a more enjoyable movie if I can connect with the characters, either the main characters or even an auxiliary character who just makes a real impression. Once you start to focus on that person and get to know them, you start to squirm in your seat a little bit when you're like, are they going to die? Are they going to lose an arm? What's going on here? And that connection makes you care about what happens next in the movie. And that's all about what's, you know, telling a good story, making the person reading or watching the story care about what's going to happen next. So they stay tuned in for all, you know, to put it just mildly, you want them to keep watching. You don't want them to hit stop 35 minutes in because they're bored.
Exactly. And I think, caring about the main characters is pretty key, or side care, as you said. I mean, we have a bunch of characters, and guess what? This is not spoiling anything. Some people die in the movie, and that's just what happens. We know that going in, that some people are not gonna make it through the movie. But if we care about the different people, or at least know them a bit, I think it makes it a lot more interesting. And so that's what. And I was trying to. All the characters in the movie are based on people I know or versions of people I know. So they're not just stereotypes in my head, at least. And that, I hope it brings a lot more fun to the movie. And then as people might not make it, then you're like, uh-oh, darn it. Is that person going to go? Is that person going to go? What's going to happen next? And, kind of like, Jaws, I think, is such a cool thriller, horror, scary movie example of kind of reinventing and mainstreaming the whole genre. And I love that movie like tenfold because you do care. You care about these guys on the ship. You're invested. They don't reveal the shark until way late and it barely works, so you barely see it. But it's terrifying. It makes you scared of, I mean, after that movie, did anyone want to go swim? I don't think so.
If you have a monster movie where the monster doesn't kill anybody, it sort of defeats the purpose of trying to scare people. And yeah, I think Jaws is what shaped my affection for monster movies, because I saw that in the theaters when I was 10 years old. I mean, it came out that summer. My dad said, okay, don't tell your mother, but I'm taking you and your little brother to see this movie because I really want to see it. So me and my little brother are sitting there in the theater late at night because mom is out with her girlfriends. We're watching this movie. And at the end, we're like, that was great. That was great. And his dad's driving us home. We're like, Dad, are we going to the beach again this year? Yeah. And my brother and I looked at each other. I'm like, I'm not getting in the water. Are you getting in the water? He's like, no, I'm not getting in the water. And my dad was
laughing. Never gone to the ocean since.
No, it took a couple years to get over that, but we went to the beach that year, and we weren't the only ones not getting in the water.
Yeah, the beach business was killed by Jaws for years.
Oh, but that was that connection, that visceral reaction, where you're scared, but there's a release. You enjoy being scared for that moment. That that connection with a real horror movie is what I think has been missing in horror movies. Because just, you know, having some crazy guy go after a bunch of kids, slash them up, and throw a bunch of blood on the walls, like, okay, that's not scary. I want to be scared when I watch a horror movie. So hopefully the comeback of the creature feature will bring that sense of, I'm going to call it horror movie self-respect, back into the fold.
Yeah. Horror movie therapy.
There you go.
Therapist's office, and we have to get some self-respect, because this is a, it's a thing that is, it is lacking. It's lacking in, I think, a lot of different genres of movies. It's not just horror, where the studio system has become so formulaic in a lot of ways, and what they bring, it's basically a numbers crunching game for what comes to the theater. And that's not what we want. And Jaws, for example, wasn't made by that. It was made by guys who had a vision and they wanted to make this movie. It wasn't about, well, this is going to get 50,000 more 18 to 24 year olds because we're going to do, have this person do this. It just becomes, that's not what movies are about. Movies are about losing yourself and becoming completely engrossed in the story, and about the makers of the movie being in love with what they're doing, not about a business formula. And I think it's lacking in all kinds of genres. It's too bad. Mm-hmm. But we're trying to change that.
As an independent filmmaker, do you see that there's more freedom, more room for the lower budget movies to grow and tell the better stories that we all want?
1,000%. I'm glad you asked that, because I do. I actually, a lot of people say, oh my gosh, this is a terrible time because the studios are have taken over and are just doing one type of movie. But I totally disagree. I think that the advent of digital has made it so that we can do the films that we would have wanted to do with the studio system. We can't anymore, but instead we can do it for cheaper. We can do it, we can, with creativity, make the exact same movie and not have people looking over our shoulders saying, no, but you can't do that. No, but you need this actor instead of that actor. We get to make the movie we want. And what's great is once you've done a few things, or at least for me, once I've done a few things, actors, they're down. If they like the script and if they like the characters, they're down, even though the paycheck isn't the studio paycheck. If the material is good, they're excited to do something cool. And so in that way, I think the opportunities are, the sky's the limit for the independent, for independent filmmakers. We can get name actors. We can have the stories told that we want to tell, and we can do them way cheaper. And also there's so many more outlets now. The amount of outlets that there are to show our stuff. It's theaters, and then it's online and all in demand, and from Netflix to Amazon to Hulu, our stuff can get out there and be seen by way more people than it ever used to be. And so that, in that way, as long as you do it cheaper and smarter, it's the start of a new era, a new golden era of film, because so many more people are going to be able to tell their stories.
I like that, because you would think that creatively actors and directors would get tired of doing the same roles in the same films over and over again. But it seems like the studios, the big studios, have handcuffed themselves, saying, okay, we need to spend $150 million on every movie, and we need that movie to make $300 million back. And, you know, the smaller budget movies are being left to an entire new group of people who don't actually have to be based in Hollywood to get a project made.
No, exactly. And, I mean, I am based in Hollywood, and Hollywood Productions, we're in the middle, we're right across from Universal Studios. So in that way, I'm guilty as charged. But the ability to make the movies we want to make is very much, very possible. And everyone, the thing that's cool is everyone wants to be involved in a good movie. And everyone wants to be, a lot of people want to be involved in movie making because it's fun, because it's awesome, because we get to tell stories and we get to take people for 2 hours to a place that they're not. We get to take them out of their normal lives. And that is what is so cool about storytelling. And I believe now it's way more possible for way more people to be able to do it than ever before. And that is neat. There's the studio system isn't necessarily taking as many risks, but we as filmmakers have the opportunity to take way more risks.
Awesome.
And not to get too passionate about this, but you can tell I'm passionate about this. I really believe in.
Yeah, I mean, every storyteller should be passionate about the stories they tell and about getting other people to watch or read those stories. So thank you for going outside of several boxes for us.
Yeah, no, I thank everyone who goes to see the movie because it's what I want. I want people to see it. I want people to see our work and to see what we do and to have fun and to have a good time. And this movie, if it was done the traditional route through the studio system, would be a completely different movie than what we end up with a completely different cast, it wouldn't be the same thing. And I'm really, really proud of what we've ended up with. And is it a $200 million budget? No. And does it say Marvel before it? No. But is it our movie that we wanted to tell and we wanted people to see? Absolutely. And it's a movie that I feel if I didn't make it, but I saw a poster about it and a trailer for it, I'd be like, oh, wow, no way. They made a movie about the La Brea Tar Pits. That's cool. I would love to check that out. It's like I just completely different genre, but I saw Sausage Party. And they did that kind of in the same vein. They said, we want to make a crazy animated movie. There's no way the studio system would okay this on their own. So we're going to do it kind of independently and cheap. They made it for $18 million, which for an animated movie is insanely cheap. And it grossed double the cost last weekend alone. So it shows even with big stars like Seth Rogen, they had to go outside their box to get that movie made because it was different. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't Frozen 2 or Despicable Me 9.
Well, where can people catch Tar? Is it out yet?
No, Tar, so it's going to be out next year. It's going to be released in the spring, we believe. And we're doing all kinds of stuff leading up to it. There's going to be comic books and a graphic novel and merchandise, all kinds of fun things to get people knowing more about this world before the movie comes out. And the site, it's Tar the Movie, and that's the website, www.tarthemovie.com, or it's Tar the Movie on Facebook. And I'm also in our company, we have a whole, we're updating about it all the time, and we're Howling Wolf Productions or Howling Wolf Prod, and I'm the Aaron Wolf on all social media. So there's all these different ways that we're getting the word out there. Again, not in the traditional sense, but online and talking to people like you to say, check this out and keep following it so that when it comes out, you know, you've been reading the backstory and having fun with it, and it's free. You don't have to pay any money to read online more about it and hear more about the backstory and click on a button to read a little comic book about some of the lore of the movie, because it's a really fun world that we're creating that's based in the real world.
Now, will there be any teasers or featurettes behind the scenes or making of sort of things that to tease people along to get them to watch it getting closer to release date?
Big time. We're going to be pretty soon. We're going to start releasing some stills from the movie, including, I believe, a hint of the creature and that's coming in the next few months as it gets closer. And then there will be a teaser trailer coming out, and we're going to be doing, we're not sure which one yet, but we're going to be doing one of the Comic-Cons with the cast. And at that, we're going to show 3 or 4 minutes of the movie. So we're going to keep teasing at the world and hinting at the world in anticipation of the movie. So we're building it up so that people can start learning about, again, this new world that you haven't seen before. And so yes, we're going to, and it's all going to be all the social media, the Tar the Movie, and my at the Aaron Wolf link. It's all going to have these links, and as it builds, and the Facebook page also has all that, and it's going to be. We've already shown like some behind the scenes stuff on the Facebook on Tar the movie. We have some pictures of the cast. I know we have a great picture of Graham Greene's character, which he's loads of fun in the movie, and just I felt fortunate to work with him because he's such a good actor, and he's been in so many of movies that I've loved, from Dances with Wolves to Die Hard 3, like some really cool. He was just in that sci-fi movie Defiant,
mm-hmm.
which was a really cool show until his character died. But it was a really cool show. So it was just great to work with him. I learned a lot from him. So we have a great picture on the site of his character, which is a crazy schizophrenic archaeologist.
I'm going to have to go find that, because one of his favorite performances of his that I saw was in a movie called Thunderheart with him and Val Kilmer. That was a great movie.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's, because his career has been, 35 years of great stuff. He's done so many cool movies, and that's why I was, because he lives in Ontario, in Canada. So it was really neat. I really, really wanted him to do it. We had some other people who were going to do it, and I really wanted him. I just thought, our producer really wanted him. It was like, this is who we want. I know it's our kind of dream casting, but we also really, really want him. I ended up convincing him to do it. And now he said he'll do the next one, and he'll do more stuff with us, which is great. So he's a really cool guy, and it was just what he brought to it. I don't really know that anyone else could have done what he did, because he's, I think he's, it sounds like you're a fan too. He's that good.
I am a fan, and I'm happy you guys were able to get him, that he was able to bring a different dimension to the film. Now I can't wait to see this thing.
Yeah. And he really did. You've never seen him like this. You've never seen Timothy Bottoms like this. Like, they're different. They did something different than they've ever done. And he really did. He showed up to set, and we'd talked a lot, but I'd never met him in person. And then once we started rehearsing, it just, he had ideas, and I love the collaborative aspect of this. And he had these ideas. And I said, yes, let's do that. And I think he was surprised a little, because he's used to, in some of his bigger efforts, in being told, no, we got to do it the way that we planned. And I love the new stuff he brought. I thought, let's do that. Like, you're bringing this new creativity to your character. Let's do it. Let's get weird.
Well, you will definitely have to keep us updated on when people can check out Tar, either in theaters, online, on demand, wherever, because this sounds, like I said, it's a monster movie. It's in my wheelhouse. I want to see it. And I think a lot of Slice of Sci-Fi listeners would also want to see this.
Thank you, Summer. Yeah, really. I'll keep you guys posted for sure. And in the meantime, please follow along on the various social media, because we're going to be updating and updating and updating as it gets closer and closer, as we get closer to the release, because the studio that's going to release it, you know, that we're doing all this stuff to build so that when they release it, it's people know about it, because that's the goal, right? We're independent. We don't have a big budget, so we're trying to spread the word with fans like your listeners, who hopefully will support the movie in some way or another.
Awesome. Well, we will include all of the social media links to the website, Facebook, Twitter, everything, in the show notes here on the website. Thank you so much for your time today, Aaron.
Thank you so much. And everyone, keep supporting independent film, because it is, it to me, is where the best stories are told. And so thank you to your listeners for supporting what we do, because without them, we don't have anyone to watch our movies.
Yeah. That's Tar, the upcoming creature feature from writer-director Aaron Wolf and Howling Wolf Productions. Like I said, we'll have all the links here on the website for you, sliceofscifi.com. Thank you for your time today, Aaron.
Thank you very much, Summer. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Hey, you. Stop hiding behind that sofa. Come out from back there. Your sofa wants to talk to you. Wants to play footsie with your mind. Listen to it. Relax. Let it in. Starship Sofa. The first podcast ever to win a Hugo Award. With weekly stories from the world's best authors. Michael Moorcock, Peter Watts, Joe Haldeman, Peter F. Hamilton, and many, many, many more. With news and reviews and interviews. Bradbury, Pole, Wolfe, and Mieville, the sofas chewed the fat with them all. Facts and fictions, articles and particles. Oh, why aren't you listening? StarshipSofa.com. Your best science fictional fix this side of the coffee table.
Slice of sci-fi.
Yes. I will start the petition right now. What the world needs now is more monster movies. More good monster movies. Caveat, good ones, not crappy ones. They're just a certain type of fun where it combines good fun and good horror at the same time. And we can use more of those. I think the fact that some horror movies can be made on lower budgets, maybe that's a window for people who have good ideas about a good monster movie. Having a lower budget means it won't be as hard to get it made. I mean, really, come on. Sharknado, do I really have to say any more? How did four of those get made? Because they're silly fun and they're cheap. And digital sharks really, really don't cost anything. I think Sharknado is more of a meme, a phenomenon, a social media phenomenon. Kind of like the Police Academy movies. Yes, that's it. The Police Academy movies eventually became parodies of themselves, where it was a never-ending stream of cameos. There was no story to them, but everybody went for the silliness and the cameos. And Sharknado has become Police Academy, the Police Academy series for this decade. Yeah, I really, really need to get out more. Less TV, less movies, more books, more just going outside. Nah, not gonna happen. Well, I, for one, am looking forward to seeing Aaron's movie Tar when it comes out. I really like having a monster from a different mythology, a monster that hasn't been retread or overdone or redone 20 times. There's so much mythology and legends and fairy tales all over the world that have some really, really nasty monsters that we haven't seen in American films yet. I think it's time. I think we need more monster movies. Just have to convince somebody who can get the movies made that they're worth making. They're worth continuing to make when you have a story, a good story that goes along with the really cool monster. But anyway, working on a few new items for September, a couple new giveaways as well. Stay tuned for that. I'm not sure if we're taking Labor Day weekend off for the show or not. Probably will. But that's what holidays are for, right? To rest, relax, recharge, and come back come back newly excited to do the things that you love. That's what I'm doing. I love this. I hope you enjoy the shows that we're doing, because that makes it even more fun. Because I'm having a lot of fun talking with all these people, the actors, the producers, the writers, and even the interviews I've done over on Writers After Dark. Those have been tremendous fun. Just getting to talk to these people, to dig deep into the stories that resonate with them and make them decide to tell their own stories that eventually resonate with other people. I'm fascinated by that. But yeah, sometime in September we'll do a September TV talk, because there's a lot out there. Luke Cage, Van Helsing are the ones I'm looking forward to immensely. Lucifer's coming back. That's going to be so much fun. But I'll save it for that episode. I'll save it for the show. That'll do it for this episode of Slice of Sci-Fi. If you have any questions or comments, call in. Feel free. The number is 602-635-6976. Leave a voicemail message. Ask a question. Leave a comment. Or if you have a longer message you want to leave, go ahead and email that to summer@sliceofscifi.com. I actually don't know if there's an upper limit on the voicemail messages you can leave on that number. I've gotten messages as long as 3 or 4 minutes, so I think it would be kind of fun to find out if there is an upper limit on the voicemail message there. You can catch the show through iTunes, on Stitcher, on TuneIn, and on Krypton Radio. If you're listening on iTunes or on Stitcher, please leave us a review or a rating. Let people know that you're enjoying the show and they should check it out also. You can follow us on Twitter @SliceOfSciFi and @SliceOfSciFiTV. Check us out on Google Plus, Slice of Sci-Fi there, and check us out on YouTube, Slice of Sci-Fi. You can find the video reviews that Darren and Noah are doing. I think there are some Phoenix Comic Con and Fan Fest videos eventually coming along. We'll find out how that goes. I think a lot of people are going to be at Dragon Con this weekend, so you guys enjoy the fun there. I'll be following the live tweeting, probably retweeting some of the stuff. If you enjoyed a panel or came across something really cool, call in. Or better yet, take a photo of it, take a small video of it, send it in. Check out our website, sliceofscifi.com. We also have sliceofscifi.tv, writersafterdark.com, KickassMysticNinjas.com, and PopCultureGeeks.com. Movie reviews, book reviews, old school stuff. Yes, there are more ninjas coming. I know you've been listening to me say it all year, but it's really happening. So stay tuned there. Thank you everyone for your donations and your pledges through Patreon. They really do help keep this show running. Keep the boat afloat, so to speak. The hosting for the websites, the hosting for the media, the shows, the videos, and the audios. And you guys are helping make that easier to handle. So thank you. Thank all of you. As always, my deepest gratitude and thanks and love goes out to the guys in the geek rock band Sci-Fried for the awesome music they've provided here. If you have not seen their Star Trek tribute video yet, their 50th anniversary tribute, as well as a tribute to them being the Star Trek fans that they are and the family and friends that they've made through their connection to Star Trek, please go check it out. It's on YouTube. Look for Sci-Fried. The video is called A Tall Ship. It's also on the front page here at sliceofscifi.com. It's an awesome song, and it will bring a little tear to your eye, maybe. But if you enjoy that song or the theme music you're hearing here, check out more music by the guys. Sci-fried.com is the place to go. You can check out their albums. You can check out their free songs. I highly recommend Dr. Jones, which is an Indiana Jones take on Kiss's Dr. Love. Trust me, you'll laugh. And there's also Zombie Prison Blues, which is a video they have on YouTube, which is, you know, a take on Johnny Cash's classic. You'll enjoy it if you like zombies. But that'll do it for this show. We will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi after the holiday. Take care.